First question is, I'll send it out to the full team. Can an MDL be used to authenticate one's social security number or some other identity attribute to an online replying party? If not, are there significant changes to an MDL needed before an MDL can be used for an online identity credential?
I'll take a first crack at that. You know, driver's license, just like a physical driver's license card itself, does not contain social security number. You know, I wouldn't assume that a MDL would include a social security number. So I think the short answer is no. I mean, I'd separate the concept of mobile driver's licenses versus other types of mobile digital IDs. There's no reason the Social Security Administration could not put out their own mobile version of a Social Security card that would allow that kind of verification. But that's not something, to the best of my knowledge, that is built into driver's license, just like it's not built into a physical driver's license. As a matter of fact, I'm fairly certain it's legally prohibited in most states. However, I will say that on a real ID compliant license, there is a requirement to do a check against the Social Security Administration systems when verifying Social Security numbers.
Thanks, Ted. Question for Arjan, is the ISO standards effort completed? And if not, what are the next steps?
The ISO standardization effort, well, is it ever completed? The standardization of the first edition of the standard is nearly finished. We're currently in the in a 2-week effort to resolve comments on the last voting round that allowed for technical comments on the standard, and we are very close to the finish line of having these issues resolved. It was our after that we'll have an internal review after the resolutions have been applied to the text. What we intended to do, as we did with previous drafts of the standard, to do a test event on top of the normal ISO process to actually confirm again and again and again that what we wrote down and what we standardized is feasible and can be implemented and really works, is really interoperable. So from that perspective, I'm very sorry that we are in the COVID-19 situation and that it hinders us to get together and actually put all the prototype and pre-production versions of the implementations of the standard together and try it all out. It has been an extremely collaborative activity, and the standard is 20 times more precise and accurate than it would have been if we had not engaged in that kind of activity. Still, we have this last round to complete. We do consider doing an alternative to a test event, or have two test events very close to each other late October, after which any issues identified should be processed. But definitely before the end of the year is the intention to launch the version for a final yes-no vote. Once that is out, that's what the world is going to say yes or no to. And that should lead to publication of the international standard by the end of, the publication then will de facto take place early next year. But that is what we have ahead for the first edition of the standard. At the same time, we are working on activities to harmonize functions to facilitate these online scenarios or scenarios in which we can further improve privacy. The whole standardization activity has been a constant review on, are we indeed practicing privacy by design, security by design? Here we are looking at, currently we rely on transferring the face image of the holder to confirm that that person is really the person that person claims to be. What we are working on is standardizing on-device holder verification, enabling in-person interactions without the need to share in your face image, and also to enable strong holder verification for online situation. And that is something we have deliberately chosen to put in the first edition of the standard, what we can guarantee to be as trustworthy as today's physical driving license at a level that is electronically protected at the same level of a biometric passport. So from that perspective, with that in the back of our minds, we have made sure that promise for the first edition. We're now working on the second edition to further bring this into the digital domain as a universal and interoperable credential for offline and online scenarios.
Great. Thank you, Arjan. Next question is for John, and maybe Matt, you can chime in on this as well. You talked about user agreements are often coercive, and end users typically don't understand the legalized language that goes with them. Do you foresee any structure for user terms changing with regard to mobile driver's licenses?
Well, you got another hour. So it's true that depending on the jurisdiction and depending on the context of the transaction, consent is not appropriate. So in the narrow case of the actual creation of the driver's license and you're pulled over by an officer of the law and you're asked to present your driver's license because there's a traffic violation, there's no consent, there's no agreement, it's built into the jurisdiction. On the other end is the use case where people talk about presenting it on entry to a bar to verify that you're of legal drinking age in the agreement. Again, with data minimization and no retention of data, and you simply send the flag back, I'm 19 or 21 or 18 or whatever the age is, and all that the doorman sees at the club is the green line, consent is relatively low and there's not a lot of agreement. So in between those, or on the other end of those, are the things where you want to use the MDL as an in a context where you're applying for a loan or doing something that's more fraught. And then on a case by case, context by context basis, you have to look at what's the nature of the agreement. Is consent appropriate? Is it legitimate interest if we're using GDPR or some other element? It's what the MDL brings is verifiable identity with a level of authority that depends upon the issuing authority and the relying party's dependence on that relying authority. Those frame the discussion about how consent or data sharing is negotiated. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer for that.
Great. Thank you, John. Matt, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I don't. I think calling it coercive is a little bit more aggressive than I was intending. But at the end of the day, I do think we can do a better job of simplifying and clarifying what data needs to be shared, is being shared, and what's being done with it, and kind of humanize the way that we present that that data so that people can make better decisions about what they're sharing and how it's being used. Today, having it buried in, a EULA is probably not the easiest to use or digest way of doing it. So I just think we can do better in an MDL context than we do today. That was my main point.